Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
All right. Hey, look at that. I had an unexpected day off Monday, or yesterday, I'd say, but we're back for the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I am the Big Jack with the Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Thursday mornings. So if you get the opportunity, you can swing over there, check out what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, all right. So we're coming off a Father's Day weekend. Did you get to enjoy your day and do what you wanted?
Slightly. I don't know. It was too hot to do anything really.
Yeah, it was. I'm so fat that, you know, I went to the grocery store today, and then by the time I got home from all that, I had to take a shower. So it was just kind of ugly.
Yeah, no, after spending Saturday helping my mother-in-law move and then cutting my grass, I thought I was going to die with that
95 degrees. Yeah, and I know we're, supposed to have some rain rolling in, then it's supposed to cool off, so we'll have to see how that works out. But we did have we had, you'd call it part of a baseball game. Would be the way to look at it. The Yankees and the Nationals had to finish a suspended game, which I believe that was it. I think the Nationals ended up winning it 5-3. Let me double check the score for you to make sure. So yeah, we had that going already. I caught bits and pieces of it, and I was lucky enough to get there to see the end. Humorously. And Dan, I guess this is why I'm not a website guy. I pulled up just the Mickey Mouse Network because the scoreboard normally comes up pretty quick. And they still have it as a 3-3 game, even though I know that it's over. So good job there, guys. Way to be on top of things. So, you know, I guess that's what I get. I know Juan Soto hit a big home run and everybody was excited. So the Nationals did win that game 5-3. They have another game today, and now because of that game, if you're a fantasy player, you know, a daily fantasy player, they're going to lock the leagues that I think it's. Or did they already lock them? No, I don't think they locked them because I don't think you could use guys from today's game. But they're going to lock, I think it might be 5:45. So if you're shuffling some early guys or something, you got to make sure your guys are in your lineup. Otherwise you're going to end up eating it. You're going to eat that zero like I did with Russell Martin that day. So be prepared and ready for that. But I did have some, I don't know, kind of odd enjoyment. I know I sent you a tweet yesterday. I watched the Yankee game on the MLB Network, and there was my guy Michael K calling the action, and they lost, Dan. So I didn't get to hear him say it.
Yeah, just to back up, they actually lost the leagues already with the Yankees and Nationals.
They did what?
Yahoo's already locked the Yankees Nationals.
Oh, are they? Okay. Let me pull up real quick here and check what FanDuel has going on. So, due to tonight, Yankees-National doubleheader, tonight MLB main slate will be locked at 6:45 Eastern. So you still got 10 minutes on FanDuel. If you're looking to get in and make a change or something like that, you can still jump in and get that done. So hopefully it works out for you. So yes, are you playing tonight? Are you? I know I sent you a free roll. I wasn't sure if you could get in it, but there I did. I was sent a free roll earlier.
I'll have to double check. I just did my home run derby, Trout, Harper, and Encarnacion.
Ah, oh well, I did mine. Of course, I have Trout and Harper as well. Now this week it's third baseman week, so tonight I'm going with Josh Turner. Or excuse me, Justin Turner. Josh Turner's the country singer. I was way off there. But yeah, I kind of go on that route there. So we'll see how that works out. Oddly, yesterday was the end of second baseman week, and I got one home run, and it was from DJ LeMahieu, not either Trout or Harper. But yeah, Dan, maybe you can explain this while we're kind of on the Nationals and Harper and stuff. You know, he apparently shaved and cut his hair. And I heard the guys on MLB Network making a big deal out of this. This is just kind of something guys do when they're in a slump, right? Maybe try to change your luck a little bit, try something a little different, you know, cut your hair, shave, get a new bat, get some new batting gloves, you know, maybe change spikes, who knows, right? I mean, I'm a little baffled on why they were so excited about it. It was kind of frightening.
Yeah, I would think it has a little to do more with being in the slump and needing to switch things around.
So, yeah, that I was just kind of like, and Harper is hitting third in the Nationals lineup tonight, just for this next game coming up, I should say, since they already played once. Yeah, I was just kind of like, oh, okay. You know, because now we're on the bandwagon now, Dan, where everybody's going to try to sell you the Atlanta Braves as winning the National League East again. You know, we started out like this, then the Nationals made a run and they got back into first place. You know, now they're three back. It's June 18th, Dan, and everybody's got the Braves winning the East. Are you going in and changing your Google sheet? You got the Braves locking up the East already here in June?
No, not by a million.
You know, I mean, you know, they've been a nice surprise, and you know, I think it's really cool that you know they're hanging around, and I mean, you know, they're supposed to be here at this point, you know, because they've been going through their rebuild as well, you know. But when you kind of look at the team, I mean, they're starting rotation, and obviously this is without Fulton Nawith because he's on the DL. You know, they're going with Julio Teheran, who was really good for about six innings yesterday and then cramped up. Brandon McCarthy, Sean Newcomb, Anibal Sanchez. Oh, excuse me. Oh, and then it's Michael Soroka, I believe is how you pronounce that. You know, Dan, there's just not enough rotation depth here to, you know, kind of jump on this bandwagon, is there?
Not really. Not when you're going up against the Dodgers or the Nationals or even the Cubs.
Yeah, you know, because I mean, obviously, you know, Teheran is he's a very good starting pitcher. I don't know if I could sell him as an ace. You know, I know a lot of people are trying to push Fulton Nawith in that role. He's been very good. You know, 5-4, but that ERA is 2.16. But again, you know, we're looking at guys here who are really young and haven't experienced this. And I mean, I just can't believe that Anibal Sanchez is going to have a 0.93 or 1.93 ERA the whole year. Can you?
It would be awesome for them if he did, but I don't think it's sustainable.
You know, I mean, you know, the guy, you know, he basically was at the end of his rope, and, you know, he's washed out a couple places, and, you know, Atlanta took a shot at him, obviously, because he was cheap to sign, you know, add a little veteran depth to that rotation. And, you know, obviously, he's done well. He's, you know, seven games, he's made six starts, he's 3-0. So, yeah, he's, you know, he's doing very well for them. But, you know, it's their new guys, really, that are, you know, I shouldn't say new, maybe young. You know, like Newcomb is 8-2 with a 2.70 ERA in his 14 starts. Sirocco is 2-1 at 2.57 for an ERA. Now, granted, he's only made four starts, but, you know, he'll probably stay in the rotation until Fultonewicz comes back. And who knows, you know, they'll have to figure that out. But, you know, like McCarthy's ERA is 4.98, and Turan, even with six no-hit innings yesterday, still has an ERA of just under four. So I don't know if I'm buying the pitching here. I mean, you know, obviously they can hit. You know, Freddie Freeman's one of the best players in the National League. Ozzie Albies has been fantastic, but you know, there's some questions there. I mean, is Johan Camargo an everyday third baseman in this league? You know, Nick Markakis is having a fantastic year. You know, does he continue to hit 320 or 330 here? I don't know, Dan. I mean, there's a lot of kind of ifs and plug-ins that go with this team, and you know, they don't seem as solid as the Nationals do.
No, and now that the Nationals have Adam Eaton back, he's batting 333.
Is he back, or did he get hurt again? Oh, so.
No, it looks like since June 9th, he's been back since the 9th.
Yeah, well, I know he came back and he played like one or two games and he got dinged up again. Not bad enough to where he had to go on a DL, but, you know, he just kind of got, you know, he kind of got dinged up. You know, and then, you know, I guess a lot of the, you know, the questions when you kind of start to ask and things stem from here, you know, Dan, Bryce Harper's only hitting 217. Is this going to continue? I mean, this can't continue, right? I mean, he's easily one of the probably top three, you know, just to scratch it out, I'd say top five, you know, players in baseball. This doesn't keep going for him, right?
I mean, do you think that has anything to do with why Mike Trout gets all the accolades of being the best player in baseball, even though if you took all the numbers, he's still in the top five, but he's not the best?
Yeah, I actually heard somebody ask the question today on why Trout isn't getting more love from everybody, and I don't know. I think if they gave him any more love, he'd have to start charges. But, you know, that's just me. I thought that was kind of awkward. And, you know, it's just, you know, and obviously I don't know what's going on in Harper's head, but, you know, and I know I got to double check it here. You know, he still walked 51 times, you know, in 68 games. So do you think maybe he's pressing or chasing pitches that he normally wouldn't have because he doesn't want to walk?
Possibly. I mean, I guess being a contract year, he would want to get.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, you can't add that in. You know, you got the contract on top of everything else. I mean, obviously he wants to go out and have a great year. You know, so I don't know. It seems kind of strange.
I mean, but you know, I know it's only June, but doesn't it kind of justify whatever executive says that Bryce Harper is not worth 10 years at $35 million? I'm sure he didn't say that exactly, but he's basically not worth it. I mean, you know, you mentioned the 217 batting average, but out of 52 hits, 19 were home runs, and only six were doubles. You know, so, I mean, when you look at total bases, he's not really hitting it around the horn as much. And he's getting his singles and his home runs. He did drive in 43, and he's crossed the plate himself 41 times. You know, what you mentioned, the 51 walk, which I believe is actually – the most next to Joey Votto. You know, his RBIs are pretty much up there, but you know, it was like someone posted today in a Cubs group that I'm a part of that, you know, Kyle Schwarber's home run was, you know, so many feet, which I like that. I still get that one. You know, just kind of covering the distance, but the exit velocity, who cares? What does that do?
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything. So
you've
got to imagine
do
that Harper's probably worrying too much about this launch of aircraft and just not playing ball. But, I mean, that's one of the things I've noticed about him is he's never maintained a high batting average.
No, except for the year he won the MVP, I believe. So
my internet's slow, so I'm taking my time to pull it up.
Yeah.
Or it's taking its time to pull it
up.
But,
exactly.
You know, I mean, like you said, 2015, I believe, was the year he won the MVP. He had a 330, you know, last year it was 319. And to drop an entire, you know, 100 points, you know, it's pretty, I don't even know what the word is for it. It's just
disappointing.
Pretty bad.
Oh.
Yeah, disappointing.
You know, and it's one of those things you start to wonder, you know, it's not just Harper. I mean, you look at the Nationals as a whole, Trey Turner's hitting 256. Michael Taylor, who got a lot of playing time with Eaton Hurt, is hitting 236. You know, Ryan Zimmerman, who's been injured, you know, has only played 33 games this season, was hitting 217. You know, Matt Wieters was supposed to supply some offense at catcher. He's been hurt off and on. He's hitting 231. You know, just as a team here, they're just not hitting. They're just not hitting the baseball. So, you know, you can't really expect that to continue. I mean, Juan Soto's been a blessing for this team. You know, hitting 315 since he's been called up. But other than that, you know, not counting Adam Eaton because he's got such a small sample size, but. You know, Anthony Rendon has really been the only regular who's produced, and he missed a chunk of games with an injury. You know, I mean, they've been relying on guys, you know, like, you know, Matt Adams, you know, Howie Kendrick's hitting over 300. You know, somehow Wilmer Defoe has played in 65 games for them. You know, I mean, you kind of start looking at this, but, you know, you understand why, you know, the Braves have played good baseball. But the Nationals just aren't really the Nationals yet. You know, now you add to the fact that Strasburg is hurt. You know, and it's just kind of like, oh, okay, great. Let's, you know, let's figure out how we're gonna get around this stuff now. And it you know, I mean, I guess it could snowball all year and the Braves could win the division, right?
It could. I mean, as long as you keep pitching around Bryce Harper, so to speak, you can essentially get him to strike out because in 68 games, he's already at 70 compared to his 111 games last year with 99. So, you know, we're at least an average of one a game. And he brought up his walks. He's only been intentionally walked 8 times as opposed to 51 anyone. So I think, you know, quit swinging at the high ones.
Yeah. Now, do you think, you know, they just got Daniel Murphy back too. Granted, you know, he's only played 5 games, so I'm not too concerned with the fact that he's hitting just 100. You know, I think some of that will obviously come back the more he plays and faces major league pitching. Think that helps? Because, I mean, I'm kind of looking at this lineup, and we're in a lot of the situation, you know, before with this team. It's like, okay, you lead Trey Turner off because he's got 20 stolen bases, but you know, he's scuffling a little bit to get on. You know, that's okay. I don't really know who you plug in second, but then if you plug in Harper third, who's his protection? You know, I mean, is there anybody in this lineup you plug in behind him? I mean, is Rendon enough protection or, I don't know. Do you need Murphy to step up and have, you know, he had an MVP type year last year. You need him to do that again?
Most definitely.
So, yeah, I mean, just kind of, you know, kind of looking at this team, I mean, they desperately need somebody to step in behind Bryce Harper and just help him out. And I know, you know, Matt Adams does have 13 bombs, and, you know, Mark Reynolds has had 6 in his limited playing time. So, you know, we've got some guys pitching in. I know, like, Adams has a finger issue, and they're not sure, you know, if he's going to – I know he didn't play in the standard game, if he's going to play tonight. But, yeah, I just don't know. It's just kind of like – you know, here I was talking about Howie Kendrick hitting so well, I didn't realize that he went on the 60-day DL and had season-ending Achilles surgery. I forgot he ruptured his Achilles. So he's not even there to help him, and he was having a pretty solid year. So, you know, it's just kind of injury after injury. Does this team got to go make a trade, Dan? Do they got to go find a bat?
Well, I think so. I think they need to find the biggest bat that they can to put behind Bryce Harper. You know, one that'll kind of strike fear into guys. But we're going to run out of the time before I can take a look and tell you about my picks of the week. So I wanted to into that real quick.
That's no problem. You know, as long as you get them before they change over stats. I said, as long as you get them before we change over stats, we can always do it tomorrow.
Oh, I didn't. I already made them. I thought I emailed you.
No, if you did, they just they came in before while I was doing something else. Let me double check here. No, nothing to me. So.
Oh. All right. Well, let me hit send, and you know, you'll get to see them as they pop up to you. But you know, this week, you know, we always start with the hitters. So I'm gonna go with AL, like alphabetical. And I don't know if you've taken a look at any of these guys, but I mean, above and beyond Evan Gattis, award for the week. You got a bunch of hits, but
hang on, you're in a bad cell zone there. That it almost sounded like you were rapping when you said Evan Gattis. So kind of humorous the way it came out. So let's see if you're in a little better area, and I can hear you a little better now.
But yeah, well, you know, the big numbers that I, you know, really stood out to me were the 4 home runs with the 15 RBIs. I mean, I believe Houston has had like a 10-game perfect streak going on, and he posted a .417 batting average. So, you know, for a guy who – I think we both even thought that he was kind of on the, you know, maybe not living up to the potential that he was supposed to. He definitely needed this, and I hope he kind of continues to. Now, I don't know if that was at the catcher position or the DH. I forget what he does down there in Houston. But sliding over to the National League, I went with Marcelo Ozuna. You know, kind of a big week for him, too. He only struck out a couple times. He had 4 home runs also. Only drove in 8 RBIs. But posted a .455 batting average, 1,000 slugging within 6 games. And I believe it was 10 hits. I forgot to put in the actual stat numbers above what are above the numbers. They actually know which ones are which. But, yeah, you know, those are my two hitters of the week. I think both great. The one thing, going over the pitching side, I think you'll like this one if you haven't seen my email yet. In the 2-game start, he went 2-0 with a 1.42 ERA. It was kind of short, 12 and 2/3 innings, but I mean, that's just baseball these days. You're lucky to get a guy to go 2 games and post a minimum of 14, 15 innings. You know, everything else was low, pretty low, the earned runs and all that good stuff. But he had 14 strikeouts. And did I mention that's Wade LeBlanc? So I figured you would like that one.
Yes. And, who was it, though? I didn't hear the name.
Well, it was Wade LeBlanc from Seattle.
Who? Oh, Wade LeBlanc? Oh, okay. So every time he tried to tell me the name, it broke up. I was like, what, they don't want me to know who he's picking?
pretty much. Now, I don't know if you really looked at the National League pitching for the week. You know, I feel like everyone in the National League took the week off, except for Flaherty from St. Louis, who, you know, went 1-0 in two games starting, posted a 7.79 ERA in only 11.1 innings. So I thought that was pretty sad. He did strike out 13 guys, but, you know, I mean, the guy who should have gotten that was John Gray, but he went 0-1 with 7.36 ERA. He gave up 10 runs, 9 of them were earned, but he struck out 19. I really like that 19, but
the next stop will be 80th Avenue.
Just a bad.
So you couldn't, you didn't like any of the National League relievers?
No, you know, I kind of forget about that. You know, when I think of pitching, I just, for whatever reason, immediately think of starting pitching.
Yeah. All right. So you're gonna stick with Flaherty then?
The next stop.
Yeah.
No, I just, you know, wanted to make sure, since, you know, that it'll be an all Cardinal week for you. So.
Yeah, well, oh, I didn't notice that. But, I mean, you know, can you really make a guy a pitcher of the week with a 7.36 ERA?
Oh, no, you know,
and those were honestly the two of the top pitchers of the week. And it just kind of makes me sad that the National League just didn't have what it took last week to, you know, honestly, if I think I would have just not given an award out. But, you know, Flaherty got the 13 strikeouts, so that puts it up pretty nicely for him.
Well, now that I'm caught up here, let me kind of peek in and listen to what was floating around today. Oh, if anybody was, oh wow, there were no two-game winners in the National League. That's interesting. So nobody managed to win their starts. That's funny. You know, Flaherty had the real low ERA there. Chris Stanton was pretty good, but he didn't throw many more innings, just, you know, an inning and two thirds. So that's not a big deal. Yeah, it's kind of an ugly week. Kind of how it goes, I guess. You know, you run into those things. But there you go. I got it caught up and all tweeted out. So we're all set. And, you know, we'll just kind of roll along here. I got to tell you, there probably will be an uproar, Dan, and you may get a call or two that, you know, you didn't take Mike Trout, who hit almost 700 last week with 4 home runs. So just be ready for your phone to ring in.
Yeah, but he didn't have 15 RBIs.
No, but remember, he steals bases. He didn't steal any last week, but remember, he steals bases. So, you know, that's just kind of how those things go.
Well, no, that only counted in 2013. Because in 2014,
I'm looking at
bases didn't count anymore.
You know, Marwin Gonzalez had a fantastic week, hit 529. I used him in FanDuel twice, and he didn't score any points for me. So he must have hit every other day. The other three games, I didn't hit him in. So, but all right, I was kind of joking around with John Burke Stu today while you're out here kind of making picks and stuff, and I stumbled into this just kind of by accident, and we're going back and forth with email, and as you know, Tyler Chatwood is making the start for the Cubs today, and his kryptonite this year is really the walks. He has a big time issue with his walks. So jokingly today, I asked Stu if how many he thought Tyler Chatwood would walk, and I said, well, here, I'll give you the over under of 5.5. And Stu made a pick, but then he says, well, what do you think Dan would take? So I have to ask you, Dan, to see your comparison with Sue. In Tyler Chatwood's start tonight, does he walk more or less than 5.5 batters? Just so you know, I think it's
give you
inning eight. Stu gave me one, but I want you to make it before I tell you what he went with.
Yeah, immediately 7 comes to mind.
All right, so you're gonna jump on over. Stu did take. He said wishful thinking. He's taking the under. So his fandom got to him, and he went with the under there. Not under where, the under there. So.
Now, well, let me tell you why I would like to take the under. Well, let's just, if they were really betting odds or whatever, I think your safe bet would to be go with the under. And that's even if you're not a Cubs fan or a homer pick, simply for the fact that I don't think Joel Manin would let him get that far. You know what I mean? The way Joe Madden manages, essentially I foresee Chatwood only going maybe 4 1/3 and not even getting the opportunity to walk 7 batters.
But yeah, at least you'd hope not. So.
Yeah.
Oh,
but, you
sorry.
Know,
yeah,
I mean,
well, Stu's going with the other game, so I'll be over. We'll have to check it out tomorrow. Maybe I can come up with something for tomorrow for you guys to pick against each other with. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, it'll be a little bit more fun because I don't think he would take it as personal as somebody else we used to do stuff like this with.
Yeah. But while we're on this, here's my fantasy lineup tonight, Dan. I decided to I'm gonna go with Garrett Cole in the castle. $11,000. You know, the Stros have won, I think, every game they played this year. I think they're undefeated coming into tonight, and I think Garrett Cole will keep me going. $11,000, a pretty high top price tag, but I think he's got a good matchup. My catcher first base position here is filled by Yasmani Grandal of the Dodgers. He's hitting cleanup tonight for them, owes me $2,800. Second base is Asdrubal Cabrera of the Mets. He's hitting second for them, costing me $3,300. Third base is Yomer Sanchez of the White Sox. He's going to hit second for them tonight, cost me $2,600. My shortstop is Trey Turner of the Nationals, which, after looking at his stats, would not have been a very good pick. But he's hitting second for them tonight, cost me $3,800. My outfield starts at $3,600, where you'll find Matt Kemp. In his fifth for the Dodgers tonight. I come back with another Dodger. Jock Peterson is in the Dodgers leadoff spot today, hitting $2,800. My final outfielder is Dan's guy Cameron Maven, $2,200, hitting fifth for the Marlins tonight. Then my utility guy is Joey Gallo, for the Rangers tonight at $2,900. So just a quick recap, Garrett Cole is my pitcher. The catcher first base position is Yasmani Grandal. Second base is Asdrubal Cabrera. Third base is Domo Sanchez. My shortstop is Thomas Turner. My outfield is Matt Kemp, Jock Peterson, Cameron Maben, and my utility guy is Joey Gallo. And while they did lock the league, it is a late swap. So as long as the guy is game, I start to go in and swap out and all that other fun stuff. So, you know, like I know some of the games don't start till 7:10 or something like that. 7:05. Yeah, so you can make those changes depending on who the guys are in your lineup. So, there you go. Hopefully it'll work out. I had a rough weekend. I think I won $2 on Friday, and then I got my head kicked in the next couple of days. So,
well, that's not fun.
No, never fun. I don't think I scored 100 points. So it was just kind of like, man, what's going on here? So, you know, and I thought I put a pretty solid lineup together.
How did you do with your World Cup FanDuel?
Oh, my horrible. So, I mean, I managed to get some winners, but I'm not anywhere close to, you know, getting winning it. thing. So, you know, and, oh, I actually did lie. I scored 101.3 points yesterday with them. So I did get over 100. I just didn't get anywhere close to winning anything. So, who did I? Oh, yeah, because I had picked Anderson was my my under the radar pick at pitcher, and yeah, he gave up 6 runs at 5. So he only got 30 points. And I bragged about Freddie Freeman, and he got me a big ball dance. Every time these guys do, well, I don't know why that is. So, it's almost intentional at this point, isn't it? This one I picked them?
Pretty much. His name came up yesterday in talks of, you know, who are the best first baseman. I think it was, I don't know, were you watching the Cubs game last night? ESPN with A-Rod and Jessica and the other guy.
Yeah, I did go away from it for a little bit. I was going to watch Triple X, Return of Xander Cage, and it was horrible. So I went back to the Cubs game. So, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you got to figure now. I mean, he's got to be kind of up there, right? I mean, you know, I mean, who are you taking ahead of him?
Well, my guy is not a baseball. The guy I would love to take, I put him as a, I don't know, where would you put Rizzo? A really good and not yet great first baseman?
Yeah, you know, he's a tough call. I mean, I think he's very good. I just don't think he's shown it this year.
No.
So, you know, but I don't know if I would take him over. That's a close call for me. You know, like I, you know, just kind of off the top of my head, you know, looking at what we got here, I think, you know, even with the slow start he got off to, I'm still taking Paul Goldschmidt as the number one first baseman. You know, and if, yeah. I mean, he's got a, you know, he's picking it up when his OPS is over 1400. So he's kind of getting back into the groove. How do you not put Joey Votto there?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, with just so
much.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, not only is a great average hitter, but still that on base percentage is going to go through the roof. And, you know, he's going to walk more than he strikes out. But, yeah, other than that, you know, I think Freeman's right there. You know, I mean, you know, so, yeah, you know, like I would probably go Goldschmidt, Votto, then Freeman. You know, with guys like Rizzo and even Jose Abreu, who, you know, is going to get you 30 and 100, 300, you know, they're not far off. And, you know, Brandon Belt could ever stay freaking healthy. I would love to know what he would do for a full year. Yeah, other than that, I don't, you know, there aren't really too many guys. You know, Albert's not that guy anymore. You know, Cody Bellinger's having a down year. So, I mean, is it a sophomore slump? I mean, we don't really know. You know, I don't buy Gurriel as a big time first baseman yet. So, yeah, I don't know. Was there anybody else you were buying? You know, I mean, you like Jose Martinez of the Cardinals? Like, to me, I think he's got more to prove. But do you like him? Uh-oh, did we kill Dan? Because I can't hear him. I'm not even hearing background noise. No, he's still there. Did you mute yourself? No.
Break time.
There you go. Okay. Oh, okay. I didn't know. Yeah, God, I didn't realize it was that late. So, all right, yeah. So Dan's got to disappear for a few minutes. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, maybe you put Martinez on that up-and-coming list. I mean, you know, there are some, you know, younger guys. I mean, you know, Josh Bell, you know, you got to kind of wonder, you know, where he kind of shakes out or falls out. I mean, Eric Hosmer may be the best defender out of the group. You know, I mean, he had a really good year this year. You know, he's not off to a bad start this year either. You know, 284 with 9 homers. He's got 33 RBIs. I can't, you know, like I said, I think I probably have Freeman third on my list. I probably go Goldschmidt, Votto, Freeman. You know, and then I could go either way with Rizzo or Abreu. You know, like this year, I would probably go with Abreu just because Rizzo's not really hitting. So those would probably be my top five. You know, then with Martinez, maybe just on the outside there because he's having a fantastic year. You know, 321 with 10 bombs, 42 driven in. You know, but I just think he's got to prove a little more to me there. Before I would kind of jump on that bandwagon and run with them. But, you know, Freeman definitely, you know, one of the top guys right there. You know, and who knows, with the year he's having, maybe he moves up even more. You know, right now he's at 337 with 15 home runs, 49 RBIs. Oddly, even has 6 stolen bases, which is a little out of his game. I don't think he's ever has he ever reached double digits in his career as a stolen bases? I'll have to make a quick Bing mention here and see what comes up, because I do not oddly, when you Bing Freddie Freeman, one of the options is a murderer or murder. So I'm guessing somebody named Freddie Freeman got killed there. Not that that's humorous. Actually, 8 is his career high. He had 8 stolen bases last year. So he's never been to double digits. Maybe this is the year he gets here, considering he's got 6 in June. You know, normally when it's stolen bases and first baseman, it's Paul Goldschmidt, but Ian Desmond actually leads the way with 7 right now. Goldschmidt's just kind of stuck at 2, but, you know, like I said, you know, even with that awful start Goldschmidt got off to, you know, Joey Gallo, they have listed as a first baseman. Yeah, even though he's more of an outfielder, he's got 18 homers, but then it's Freeman and Crone at 15. And Goldschmidt's in a group at 14 with Matt Olson. He's got Matt Olson and Ian Desmond. So, you know, he's right there, even with just the, you know, the garbage start he got off to. And, like, now his average is up to 265. So, you know, look for him to come back. And I'm disappointed I couldn't get anybody to give up on him while I was trying to deal for him in one of my leagues. I think in every league I'm in, I sent trades to guys who had Paul Goldschmidt, just hoping they were willing to say, oh yeah, I'm done, he's gonna stink all year, and I couldn't get anybody to bite. So you know, just didn't go that route for me. You know, sometimes those things happen, and you know, you can't get the fish to bite. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, you know, like I know we were trying in our money league to see if the guy was ready to kind of to pedal off Chris Archer at what would be a bargain rate, because you know he's hurt and there's a lot of talk now that he won't be back until after the All-Star break. So you know, I thought maybe it would be a good time to jump on him, but no, he's still got way too high of a value on him for the part of this, you know, for the part of the season you get basically a little less than half a season. So you know, there's just not much I can do. Then I know I was joking around about the Astros before. They've actually won 11 in a row. I didn't realize the team record for wins was only 12. So they have a fantastic opportunity to tie it tonight. And in reality, they should really, really put this record in their rear view mirror. And they should be able to pull away from the Mariners. Like now they're a game and a half up out west. But when you look at the Astros schedule, this is where we are. Let me find June here. I'm still in May. It is June 18th. I mentioned tonight they're playing. They've got a 3-game series at home against the Tampa Bay Rays. So shouldn't be any issue there. They should be able to sweep that series. I think the only way they lose a game is Blake Snell pitches tomorrow for the Rays. If he goes out and has a fantastic game, you know, that would be the only thing, but he is pitching against Justin Verlander. Then Kansas City comes to town for three games. Now, they will get Danny Duffy, but Duffy's only 3-7. He's having a rough year. The only advantage is the fact that he's pitching against Dallas Keuchel, who's also having a rough year, but was really good in his last start. So, yeah, when you look at what's going on here, the Astros really have six incredibly winnable games coming up. Where's that seven? Three, four, five. No, six. You know, with Tampa Bay in town for three, and then Kansas City in town for three. And, you know, they've got a tougher series against Toronto. They'll host Toronto for three games, but it is at home before they go out on the road. But their road games are 4 in Tampa and 2 at Texas. And then they come home to play 4 against the White Sox. I mean, the schedule really lines up for the Astros to put a hell of a series here. You know, it's just a matter if they'll, you know, they'll be able to produce to it. And then even after the White Sox, they get the A's, who, you know, I know they've been better than advertised. And then they, you know, to get to the middle of July, they get the Tigers. So there's really no, you know, monster team on their schedule. The best team is probably Toronto. You know, I know Detroit has been playing better than the people have expected, but, you know, they're not in, you know, any real kind of classification with the Astros. I don't know, the A's are 500, the Tigers are actually one game under 500, and the Blue Jays are five games under 500. Well, maybe the A's are the best team they're going to run into, and that's not till next month. So, yeah, this could be a serious streak they put together as long as their pitching holds up.
Yeah, well, and, you know, with for Oakland, I think they've had great pitching up until this point, and it seems like every time I look that their top pitchers are – I don't want to say they completely peaked, but I think they hit the climax for their season.
Yeah, they're always such a difficult team to judge because it just seems like they're kind of perpetually rebuilding. So, you know, I mean, I know they called up that Frankie Montas finally. You know, he'd been a prospect for what seems like 10 years, and he gave them, you know, four really good starts. So, I don't know if he's going to be sticking around. You know, again, another team with just, a boatload of injuries, from where they, where they kind of started the season off. I think they've got three or four starters on the DL. Let me see if I can grab that really quick here. Let's see. One, two, three, four, five. So, yeah, they basically have a rotation for the guys on the DL, and then they just lost Matt Chapman to the 10-day DL. So, that it's been a lot of dinged-up guys, a lot of beat-up guys. So, you know, we'll have to see. But, you know, like Trevor Cahill was actually pitching pretty well for him until he got hurt.
Now, the way you looked at the Astros, I mean, do you still feel that they are the top team in the American League, that they really truly are the defending champions who more than likely have an opportunity to go back to the World Series and actually defend that championship?
Yeah, you know, with that pitching staff, it's so difficult not to pick them, you know, because you look at it, I mean – Verlander's a stud, Cole's been a stud, and Charlie Morton is pitching out of his mind. So you've got three guys right there that are just monsters. All you need is one more, and you can't tell me Dallas Keuchel is going to be, you know, is going to have a 4.15 ERA the rest of the season. I just don't buy that good of a pitcher. You know, yeah. So, I mean, if you roll into the rotation with Verlander, Cole, Morton, and Keuchel, how do you beat that?
You know, and it's almost as if, you know, Verlander and Cole came there and had this huge resurgence, they kind of wonder what happened with Keuchel, why he's not, you know, maintaining that same level as they are.
So, Cole is finally the eight that people thought he was, and I wonder if having Verlander there and him not having to be the guy has made it easier for him to just kind of go out and pitch.
Yeah.
You know, because he was expected to take the Pirates rotation here, obviously, with, you know, Verlander and even Keuchel. You know, Keuchel's a 30-year-old veteran who's got a Cy Young. And, you know, you're not expected to do as much. And, you know, maybe it's given him the opportunity to just kind of sink in and get the pine tar on the baseball. Oh, did I say that out loud? Sorry. And, you know, just kind of, you know, go at it.
You know, you mentioned that now that he's kind of behind Verlander and Keuchel, you know, to me, the time spent over the last, you know, especially the last two seasons in Pittsburgh, while the pressure is there to be the ace, I mean, was there really that much pressure seeing as the team really wasn't going anywhere? You know, it was he and Tyler Glasnow, I feel like.
Remember, for, you know, a little while there, they, you know, they contended, you know, a couple of those years. You know, I mean, granted, I know they ended up in the wild card game, you know, both years, and ended up, I don't know, 2 years or 3 years. But I know they,
So, you know, I'm referring a little bit more towards the last 2 years, you know, the year that the Cubs went to the the NLDS, and then, you know, the World Series that next year. Do you feel like there was still a lot of pressure for him to perform at a high level to get, you know, moved? Do you think, is that where some of that pressure was coming from? And now that he's moved, he can relax.
You know, isn't it anytime you're kind of an ace, you're just expected to perform and carry the staff? You know, and I mean, you know, and a lot of it may stem. Remember, back in 2015, he went 19-8 with a 2.60 ERA and finished fourth in the Cy Young. So, but then of course he turned around and got hurt. And like last year, he made his 33 starts, but he was just 12-12, and his ERA was ridiculously bad at 4.2. That's terrible for the Nationals. So, yeah. You know, I mean, I guess it depends who you are or how you're wired. So, but yeah, I just assume, like, you know, when they, you know, when they finally name the All-Star team, the rotation is, you know, Verlander, Cole, Burton, and, you know, maybe even McCullers, with the, you know, the way things are going there. And, you know, just run all those guys out there.
Well, you know why that is, though.
Because their manager is managing the team?
No, because the guy who was supposed to be hold all the awards at the end of the season is now on the DL.
Yeah.
not playing the
All-Star. Yeah. Did you by any chance catch the fact that Hector Rondon now has 4 saves for the Astros and an ERA of 1.38.
Wow.
Yeah. Just kind of how that worked out, I guess, sometimes.
Maybe Pedro Strop will hope to go there.
Yeah, I got to start thinking if I'm a pitcher and I'm a free agent, I want to know if the Astros are interested in me. You know, that seems to be the place to go, the new place, I should say, to go get yourself related. You know, obviously part of their quality play is the fact that they really haven't had a ton of injuries like some teams have. You know, I know McCann missed a little time, and then Gurriel missed some time at the start of the season. But other than that, I think Josh Reddick missed some time. But other than that, they've been very healthy compared to other teams right now. Even like the two guys they have on the DL aren't guys who would even be on this roster. So, you know, that's always a big key when, you know, when things go through.
Yeah, well, and with the pitching staff they have, they can afford to lose a number one prospect to a PED suspension.
Yeah, for 80 games and not even flinch. You know, yeah. Just kind of. Did you see they did sign their – well, he was their general manager, Jeff Luhnow. He got a big extension, and he is now president of baseball operations. That apparently paid off him as going out, putting up a fantastic, the best record right now. So, well, I guess technically the Red Sox are a little better, 49-24, but, it's right there. So, we'll have to see him. I'm just curious now, if my Mariners are going to have to play the Yankees or the Red Sox in the wild card game. That's all I'm wondering. And if they start the King or if they got to go James Paxton. So that's where I'm at.
it'll be interesting. I don't know. I've been a little caught up, so I haven't been paying attention a whole lot. But I still have the King on my team.
Yeah, we Mr. Fantasy and I kind of scoffed at him. I think it was two Sundays ago, but he was making a start, and we didn't like his matchup. We didn't think he was going to be very good, and I think he went out and pitched six or seven shutout innings, maybe even eight. I think he might have went eight and only put up one run. I was like, yeah, okay, great. Shows what we know. You wonder why I don't win FanDuel money. Jeez. They had Boston in town. If I had picked them, he'd have got rocked and not got to the fifth, right?
Three. Yeah, exactly.
They split with Boston over the weekend. It would have been nice, obviously, to take, three or four, but, a split isn't terrible. Hopefully they kind of get back rolling. We'll see how it goes. But, I will take, they're playing good baseball, they just got to keep going. Figure out how they're going to handle the Robinson Cano thing when he does that.
I forgot he's out.
Yeah, well, it's just so weird that they were playing so well with him gone. I mean, I thought that could really be, an issue there, but, they stepped up and, I can't complain. So, we'll have to see how. So far so good. It'll be, I'm trying to figure out if they have if the MLB Network just stayed with the Yankees Nationals or if they got a different game going, but I can hear it in the other room, so I was trying to see who it was. I'll know it about a minute here because we're almost done. So I'll see how that goes, but it will be, there you go. With that, a minute, here we are. All right, you are going to take off. That's what we're going to do. Next time we're 5:30. While we're over there, sportstimeradio.com. We know what's going on over there. Link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Don't forget to post at Sportstime Radio. And on the internet on Twitter, if you'd like to do that, that's cool. As always, big thanks for listening live. But don't forget the podcast is available for you. Anytime you want to listen to it, and also, remember, we got to look at the game challenge. We have finally challenged up to 1-5.5, and don't take the new chance you're going over. So we'll update that tomorrow.